honor to introduce myself. Okay. Today's speaker is me. And everybody knows me. Jesus knows me. So can we move on? For some of you guys that don't know me, first timers, my name is Joe. And I'm a member of this church. Some people think I'm just a janitor, or I'm just a, you know, a custodian or a mechanic. But in God's eyes, I'm an associate pastor, minister of the gospel. And if I can help you, I will. Amen. But I want you to stand to your feet in reverence to the word tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalms 75. Salmo 75. Since we got a lot of time tonight, can I do it bilingual? Nah. Are we there? Psalm 75. Amen if you got it. Verse 6 and 7. The word of the Lord reads, "For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts one down and he exalts another." Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. Lord, we pray that the time frame that we have tonight, Lord, use my life once again, Lord God. Minister to your people tonight, Lord God. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. And I'd like to take the opportunity to thank God first and foremost for my salvation. Thank God for the opportunity to minister in my local church, the staff, you know, for our pastors for allowing us. But we didn't just take it lightly and just let anybody just minister the gospel, especially the way things are nowadays. But I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is a special day for me, and you'll find out later on as I minister the gospel. And but I want to minister today in the scripture, and I want to entitle this "The Elevator," because since we're in the theme of elevation and elevate, well, I want to entitle this "The Elevator." And I know you're probably thinking about some box with a bunch of buttons, and you push it and you go to the 15th floor, 7th floor, and you find those in the hospitals downtown and buildings and stuff like that. Well, that's an elevator, but I want to talk to you about the elevator, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But we'll talk about that. We're going to come back in a little bit. See, life is precious. Kyle, is this thing working? I'm going to pull a Fiola LaCroix on here. You know? But life is precious. And God has, you know, has blessed our lives. You know, and I want you to know that, you know, people don't take life like, they don't take it serious. For example, if you, you know, like our state bird, Roadrunner, if you kill a state bird, Roadrunner, you'll probably get, you know, a fine or go to jail. An eagle, if you kill an eagle's eggs, you get fined and you go to prison. Even baby turtles, if you kill a baby turtle, a little egg, if you killed it, you get fined and you go to prison. But how crazy is, as we speak right now, I have an undercover agent at the roundhouse, Sister Ethel. She calls me and sends me emails, and they're about to pass the abortion bill is right about to take place. But how is it that we can allow abortion and get away with it with no fines and no prison term? Think about it for a second. Life is precious, you know, and I want you to understand that God has given us life. But it's always the second part of our lives that God always honors. For example, you look at the Bible, you look way back in Genesis, Adam and Eve. They had two sons, Cain and Abel. I say A, but Pastor says it's Abel. So I'm going to go for Abel. Amen? I'm still coming across and I forgot the L. Come on, somebody. Anyways, but Cain was born first, and God blessed him. But Abel came second, and God honored it. I just wanted to know. I don't get no details of what happened. The second one was Abraham and was Sarah. Remember, she was barren. She couldn't have no kids, but God blessed them. They had two kids. The first was Ishmael. God blessed it. But then they had Isaac. God honored Isaac. Then, of course, you remember King David and also Bathsheba. They also had two sons. The firstborn didn't make it, passed away. But they had a second child named Solomon. Solomon was honored. Then, of course, we read a story in John chapter 3 about a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. And what I like about the portion story about that, I like it because Jesus wasn't impressed. Jesus wasn't surprised. Jesus didn't say, it's about time, I've been praying for you. Right away, Jesus got to the point. Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he told him the second time, because Nicodemus was puzzled, like, how could this be? He said, how can a grown man like me go back to my mother's womb? And Jesus told him what is born of the natural is born of the natural, was born of the physical. Do not marvel. You must be born again, not only to see the kingdom, but to enter the kingdom. Now, you and I had the same experience. We were all born. We got a natural birth. You probably know when you were born and all that. But do you remember the second birth? Do you remember the second birth when you were born again? If you haven't been born again, great. You came to the right time. You will be born again tonight. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? But here's the bottom. Here's the whole point that I'm trying to make. Do you remember? I guarantee you that Nicodemus remembered that day. He remembered that day. And I don't know if you remember your day. But can I tell you mine? Can I go down there, Pat? Can I pull a Pat Laney on you guys? Huh? Can I tell you mine? See, today is my spiritual birthday. See, I want you to know that you heard my testimony. You heard it over and over, and I told Sam, you better not give me that look. I said, oh, here he goes again. I know to some it's like an old story. To some now, oh, here he goes again. But I want you to know something. It means a lot to me because this is my second birth, and God blessed my first birth, but he honored the second birth. And I want you to understand that at the age of 27 years old, I was up to here with life itself. After living a life of crime and violence and addiction, in and out of this institution and that institution and everything, it happened in 19, let me see if I can remember correctly, 87. See, it took 1 year for God to corner me. It took 1 year to God. And I remember a few weeks before that, I was walking the streets of El Paso, and I was living in the streets. You know, I want you to know something. If you don't say amen, I'll quit tonight. The devil is a liar. He's a liar. He had me all bamboozled like a puppet, doing this and doing that. You know, he gave me everything. I got out of prison the first time at 21. By the time I was 23, I thought I was on top of the world. I had my own house. I had my own car. Yes, a lowrider. A whole lot, everything that you could imagine. All drug money. But I want you to know that when he gives it to you, he requires and recommends something from you. He took everything from me. I ended up in rock bottom. I ended up like a homeless in the streets of El Paso. And I said to myself, is this all there is to it? I looked at the Greyhound right there downtown El Paso, and I looked at the reflection, and I started crying. I said, man, I wasn't saved. I haven't been in church. I ran away when I was 14, and I could care less if anybody cared. That was my life. I want you to know something. I told God, because I always believed in God, I just didn't know God. So I asked God, if this is all there is to life, why don't you just take it from me? Who wants to live like this? I want you to know that after that, I got slammed right there in the Segundo Barrio. I got thrown in jail again. On my way back to Huntsville. Wasn't new to me, wasn't the first time, but little did I know it was going to be my last time. But I want you to know that I was in that county jail. Yes, little gladiators, and we were young, and you know, I want you to know something, that when you're in that lifestyle, and you're in that age frame, and you're incarcerated, and you got drugs, and you got a little bit of power, there was five of us that had control over that whole cell block, and I was called a porter. A porter is a trusty guy. All I was sweeping floors from one side to another side. The floors were clean. I don't know why I kept sweeping them over and over. And I would get to the cell block and I would push something under the door. Figure that one out. So when I get back to my cell block, I had whatever I wanted. So I get home. Yes, it was my home back then. I'm relaxing, watching the news like I do nowadays. And I get high. Yes, in the county jail. And out of the blues, this crazy guy comes into the cell block. Anybody wants to go to Bible studies? See, I want you to understand, this is what, I didn't read this off a book. That's why my notes are up there. It's already been engraved in me. What you're hearing right now is being heard in 5 countries around the world. It's been on Channel 11. They have me on Channel 11. They have me there. And they go, thank you, Joe, by the way. We're testing you. We just got via satellite. Your testimony just went all over the world. I said, well, thanks a lot. Been on the radio. We were in Honduras in a radio station. 3 pastors were just sharing our testimony. There was only 5 people. We got out, man. I was about 50 moms outside. Pray for my son. Pray for my son. My son is a drug addict. My son is a gang member. And we started praying for him. I want you to know that God does what he does because there is a reason and a purpose why everybody has one story to tell. I'm just telling you about my second birth. So he started praying now. Bible studies. And we are looking at each other like, what's wrong with this guy? Does he know we're incarcerated? And he kept screaming out the most. And he had the nerve to challenge me. He goes, hey, you, ese. I said, surely ain't no Christian talking to me like that. He said, yeah, I'm talking to you, vato. Totally. I said, man, who is this guy? I kid you not, to this day, I do not know who that man was. I don't know what church he was, but I know now he was a guy sent from God to get hold of me. I had no clue what was going on. And he kept, you know what? A couple of guys got up. They looked at us. We went like that. They looked at the Christians, went like that. And they didn't go. And he pointed at me. I'm going to pray for you. Not only that God saves you, but that God uses you behind bars. And I just looked at him, whatever, Mr. Holy Roller. And all these names you're about to hear, to this day, they're still saved. I remember after he left, now, I want you to know something. When that guy was challenging me, when he called me that, you're not man enough. He told me, Sabes que, Holmes, any 12-year-old can pull a trigger. But it takes a man to walk with Jesus, and you're not man enough. Now, you don't say those words in the county jail. Now, I look nice now, and I look mean, and I'm kind of nice, and I don't beat up people no more. But at that time, I wanted to rush that guy so bad. But I couldn't. You know why? He had 2 angels next to him, dressed like jailers. See, when I go into the lockdown facility in Santa Fe, they just lock me up. Okay, you got 1 hour. There's nobody there. No guards, no nothing. All I got is God and the Holy Ghost. You know? And you know what? And nothing happened, but he took off. Little did he know that he planted the seed in me. And I went to the payphone. Right there is, it wasn't a payphone, it's a phone they had in the cell blocks. I get on my phone, the way I used to talk, hey, ¿sabes qué, homegirl? Necesitamos otro clavo. I'm not going to translate. You know what I mean? You figure it out. They didn't know why I was getting so much mail and getting all this and getting all that. They already figured it out by now. You can't get brand new tennis shoes and they're glued. It's all old stuff. You're talking about a story that happened over 30 years ago. But I want you to know something. I get on the phone, and one of the girls that was supplying us, she puts me on hold. Now, I don't know about you guys, but in the phone in the county jail, and you wait to get it, and then they put you on hold, and say, hey, ¿sabes qué, Joe? Cálmate, hold on here, talk to Susie. And Susie gets on the phone. My name is Susie, and I want to let you know that Jesus loves you, and I'm praying for you and my brother. Now get off the phone, you weirdo. This is a true testimony. We had a revival. We had a reunion in Exclusive with Pastor Renee, and I invited all these people. And I told her, remember when I told you, get off the phone, you weirdo, because she's still saved. They're still serving the Lord. They're still around. We're getting ready to do this here. Sometimes we've been planning for the last 2 years, and I mentioned it before. Pray for us. We're planning an ex-locals reunion in Antony, New Mexico. I'm just waiting for Mark to come back from his honeymoon. He's got to be part of this. Come on, somebody. We'll wait. It's going to be right across the street where my house used to be. Where all the craziness happened. 30 years later, some are still reaping and running. Some are still saved. Some we haven't seen. Some are still on Facebook. Hey, I heard you were a pastor. We heard you were dead. We heard you were in prison. We heard this. We heard that. But they're going to hear the loving message of Jesus Christ once we get there. We got nothing else to do but to do it. Amen? But this is how it went down. So, you know, I told each other, and I told, you know what? If you want to tell me about this Jesus, come and tell it to my face. And I hang up. But a week later, go! You got a visit. And I told the guy, I ain't falling for that one again. See, I don't know what kind of lifestyle you come from. But I come from a lifestyle where I come from prison riots and street riots and violence and craziness. And I've been shot. I've been stabbed. Shouldn't even be alive right now. But I want you to know something. A drug deal went down bad in one of the barrios in El Paso called the T-Birds. They were trying to burn us. And I told my cousin, Jimmy, which he's been to our church. He did 17 years, gave his life to God. He got on Facebook, found his 30-year-old girlfriend, and got married again, and they're living happily ever after now. But Jimmy, I told Jimmy, no les pases la feria. Nos quieren quemar. They want to burn us. Don't give me no money. I mean, there's two of us, the guy Whistle, and all kinds of crazy guys came out of nowhere. So we started fighting. Next thing I know, they have my cousin like in a bloodshed. And all I remember, he's driving some station wagon. And all I remember is running over a whole bunch of crazy guys. Got my cousin. And we split. Well, they found out I was at the county jail. They literally fake a false visit. And when they told me, I mean, like a knock, and say, when you're naive, you're naive. When I used to get arrested, there was no mama, no bondsman, no lawyer. No, nothing. You just stay there. And if you got out, you got lucky. You stayed if you got out. Terry's mother at that time was my crime partner. God bless her soul. She went to be with the Lord. She was also incarcerated. There wasn't nobody to visit. Hey, Joe, you got to visit. And like, as soon as I came out to the hallway, all I know is I got guys coming this way, that way. Thank God it was shift change. If it wasn't for the guards, only God knows what would have happened. So when he told me, okay, you got a visit, I told the guy, Charlie, I ain't falling for that one again. I said, I ain't going to go for that one again. But you know what? Yeah, some Christian people. You need God. Guards thought I was demon-possessed or something. So I went in there and I told him, she was the sister of a guy named Johnny. Johnny got saved also. But Johnny was the type of guy that would give you that respect. So I went and told her, look, Susie, with all due respect, because of your brother, I'm not into God. That's not my thing. But you want to tell me, do whatever you got to do. And she left. For some reason, they dropped my charges. And I got out. So I'm there in Antony with the fellas having a beer. And all of a sudden, this crazy holy rollers roll up. Hey, Joe, we heard you got out. You promised you were going to go to church. Now, I don't know about you guys. I made no promises to nobody. I didn't even trust my own shadow. Then the homeboys, the veteranos right there, they're looking at me like, Orale, ¿qué te pasó en el condado? What happened to you in the county jail? You a holy roller now? And I looked at them, and I looked at the Christians. Remember, this is all a setup from God. I had no clue what God was doing. And he I thought, oh, you guys afraid of God? I threw the beer down. So you guys afraid of God? You guys want to take me to church? I get in the car. Must have been a Wednesday or something. We're driving, and here comes those voices. Remember, I have been at a mental institution to be hearing voices. Come on, somebody. Somebody said, that explains a lot. Know what I mean? And that didn't work neither. They tried to psychoanalyze me. That didn't work. Come on. The only thing that works is Jesus Christ, by the way. You know, so, you know, and now here come those voices. What are you doing? God don't care. God don't love you. These people don't understand. You can't be a Christian. All these crazy things going through my head. So we get to the church. And I'm in the back seat right there where Larry is. So I'm going to kick in. These people are crazy. Man, I'm out of here. What's wrong with you? And I'm looking everywhere. And I'm trying to escape. And I bump into this guy named Louis. Louis was the son. Louis saved too. Louis is still saved. Louis was the son of the heroin connection. He used to buy small drugs from us, which my brother Leroy and Mark were moving the stuff. I was just the middleman for the big connections. So in case something happened, I would have to take the rap. But they were moving all the stuff. And there was those functional drug addicts. So the guys have their job. They get their paycheck. They stop by my house, pick up the little $20 bag. And I start missing these guys. Hey, anybody seen Louis? Louis had given his life to the Lord. So he's the one that I bump into. Hey, Joe, it's good to see you. Hey, you know what? I didn't do it. I got to go. He said, well, let me pray for you. And he had the nerve to do this. Padre, en el nombre de Jesús. And I stopped him. Hey, you know what? First of all, don't touch me. And if you want to pray for me, that's fine, but don't scream at me. Remember, I didn't know nothing about prayer. I said, okay. He goes, dispenser. I got to go. And he goes, hey, Joe, check this out. Saturday, there's Victor Irish coming to Las Cruces. They're having a revival. And I looked at what the heck? Use that word H-E-L-L. What? It's a revival. It's an ex-drug addicts and ex-comics and ex-this. I want to be there. What do you mean ex? And that Saturday came, guys. And I was on a mission to score a high. I had no problems getting high. I had never seen a dope fiend come back and sit down and, oh, I'm sad. I'm going to be all sick. I didn't score today. I never saw that in my addiction life. I don't care. I don't know how these guys do it, but man, by morning they have a cigarette right here. They're nodding. They got money in their pockets. Illegally, of course. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? And that day, I couldn't score for nada. And Eddie and my cousin Jimmy, 73 Bill Rivera, all customized lowrider, and we're scoring. They said, stop right here. It was a store like Albertson's, or it's called La Feria. If you ever go to Antin, that store is still there. Had a sign right there, Joe Williams not allowed in this store. Had a picture of me right there. This person, do not trust this person. Anyways, you figure out why. There was a water world when you drive to Texas and you see that water park. I couldn't even go in that park, my own park in my own town. Come on, somebody. You know what I mean? Anyway, that was the only place I was banned from, but that's a whole different Bible study. But let me bring it home. So what happened was that, you know, where was I? I just wanted to see if you're paying attention. So I walk into the store like a madman, and of all the people that I didn't want to see was Louis and his family. And I said, hey, Joe, you're going to that revival. I said, Louis, not now. Not now, Louis. I'm working. Not now, man. He said, hey, I'll give you a ride. Now, when I see, I'll give you a ride. I look up, and my two guys were gone. He said, and I said, I'm going to burn this guy to give me a ride to score. He was trying to give me a ride to the revival. How many of you know when God's seen it, you're going to lose? Come on, somebody. So I didn't do anything bad. I just got it. And all of a sudden, I find myself at this revival. And we get right there, and we're in the back now. My dress code was a muscle shirt. Sometimes I had a hat, sometimes I had some Mad Dogs, and that was it. And we get into the church, and this guy said, I want to let you know that I was bound in and out of prison, and God set me free. And then he stops and looks at me, hey, you. Yeah, you. Jesus loves you. And I look at Louis, you set me up. He said, Joe, I don't even know that guy. And you know what? He comes down all the way and looks at me in the eye. And he tells me in Spanish, Andas Malias.
This guy, who is this? What is this? He told me in my own words, you're sick. Well, my hand is cold. And he and I, hey, can I pray for you? He said, go ahead, everybody else wants to. But he said something, he said a prayer. He says, Father, he said in Spanish, touch him, Lord. Show him your grace and mercy. That's how he said. He didn't ask me to receive Christ. He didn't scream at me. He didn't do nothing. But I sent something there. I forgot about the high. And I said to myself, I don't know what these crazy people got, but I'm going to get to the bottom of this. They got something. I need to know what's going on. They took me home, and I fell asleep. Like, didn't get high that day. But there was something going on. But the morning came, and I heard that morning whistle. Sure enough, there was my two brother cousins, and the lowrider whistled me, hey, where you go? And something crazy happened, because when I walked to the car that I just fixed, and Eddie, he picks up the syringe. He goes, here you go. And I get in the car, and I fix, and here comes the devil. This is who you are. Forget about that. Forget about that crazy stuff. Forget about God. Forget about those Christians. The only way out is through death. There's no way out. And I believe that lie. I literally moved out of Anthony, went to Las Cruces, got me a motel room. Remember, all this is happening in 1 year. I'm trying to put it in less 10, 15 minutes. And I'm at the motel room trying to kick heroin with volumes. Secrum 7 and orange juice. After 3 days, didn't work. And something happened because I had cable TV. I'm only changing the channel. Oral Roberts comes in, Jesus loves you. And then I change the channel, and then Billy Graham comes in, come to Jesus. And I change the channel, and the Jimmy Swagger comes out, like, they're all like televangelists. The more channels I flip, put all Christian channels. And I said, what the heck is this? So I threw that out. So I walked out. And let me fast forward. You got to hang out with me, tell you the whole story from the get-go to the get-go, because I will be here all night. But my time's coming. I'm timing myself. I got my alarm up there, so don't look at me like, oh. And if I see you yawning, I will go over there and pray for you. Amen? But check this out, man. This is how the Lord got a hold of me. And finally, you know what? I walked out. I walked out of the motel room late at night. I walked over to a park there in Las Cruces. I'm 27 years old. I ran into this guy. To me, he was a veterano, an old guy. And all I asked him for a cigarette. And he starts tripping. Oh, my old lady left me. Oh, this and that. He's like, dude, I just want a cigarette, man. I want to hear all that. You know what I mean? Well, I got money. You know what? We can buy some beer. Wrong mistake. Pull out his wallet. I remember seeing some bills. I remember, shoo, he panicked. Don't hurt me. I took his wallet. Had like $300 in it. And here comes the devil again. The only way out is to death. Get you a good fix. Your problems will be over. God don't care. There's no heaven. There's no hell. And I believe that lie. I believe that lie. I was scoring quarters of a gram. $75 every pop, $75, like 3 or 4 times a day. That's how messed up my addiction was. And I was doing it, and I went and scored. And check this out. Now, when you're doping like that, you hardly don't have no transportation. You sell everything. Come on, somebody. I sold one car for $25 one time. I just wanted a fix. So I went to Terry's mother's mom. House and ask, can I borrow your car? And she looked at me, Joe, I'm not lending you the car, I'll take you. Okay, Terry's mom was at the county jail. The last place you want to be is at the county jail. When you haven't fixed in 3 days, you got money, you're tripping, you're going to this, you got warrants. Remember, I have burned the connection, I have burned the judges, I have burned anybody who would get in my way. And the last thing I want to be is at the county jail. And we went and said, I'm just going to go in, put some books, money in the books, and I'll be right out. She was taking forever. I'm only hiding. And I see this 72 T-Bird.
The windows were down, and I saw the keys in the ignition. I said, hey, I'll borrow this car. I'll go score. I'll come back like nothing ever happened. I tried to tell that to the judge when they gave me 4 years for that. Your Honor, I did not steal the car. I borrowed it, but you're up. Get this guy out of here. Give me 4 years, man. But check this out. I took the car, and it happened to be a police officer's car. He just left it there. Sheriff Betancourt. You know who his daughter is? Priscilla Betancourt in Las Cruces. She's still a member of the church. I was sharing this testimony when Pastor Bao was there, and that guy kept staring at me. He kept staring at me. Finally, can I talk to you, young man? I honor you. Honestly, that car you took was mine. He gave his life to the Lord. Come on, somebody. He passed on to be with the Lord already. But you know what? But I tried. I tried to get rid of the car. I took it to the connection. Come on, just give me a gram. You probably said, oh, it belongs to my tia. I mean, come on, just give it. They won't do it. And in the panic mode, guess what? I'm driving. I hit a stop sign, and I heard something bump over the seat. It was a 38 special. It was just kidding. The devil was just providing everything. And when I picked up my cousins, he was on Texas side in Anthony. I picked up a whole syringe. My mind was, I'm going to give me a good fix. I'll die. My problems will be over. My cousin Jimmy tried to stop me. Eddie, Harry, you know what happened to Eddie, guys? This is hard for me to tell. We were cruising all night on a Friday. But back then, you could cruise to Juarez like nobody's business. You'd be all loaded and smile at the immigration. American citizens, okay. You know what I mean? Now you can't do that no more. Right, Charles? You were over there. But you know what? Eddie passed out. And I told Jimmy, hey, I'm not with Eddie. Oh, he does that all the time. Eddie died on us. He was blue and purple the next day, man. We didn't even know. That's what kind of life I come out of. And you know what? Eddie was trying to, Harry, Harry. He just wanted a fix. Jimmy tried to stop me, and I told him, hey, there's enough for you guys right there. I just want a good one. I had no clue what was going on. All I remember, folks, that I injected myself. Now I was told that I was dead. Jimmy preached my testimony in prison. People have gotten saved. I got a letter. You were dead. You were purple. You were blue. You were dead. But he ended up at the hospital right there in Thomason, Alameda Street. And I woke up in the hospital arguing with God, telling God, why don't you just let me die? I don't want to live like this no more. I'm nothing but a burden anyways. Now, it got so dramatic. I remember when things like this happen in the neighborhood, the word gets out. But it also got to some crazy. Remember that crazy little holy roller Susie? When I threw her not to come back and see me, anyway, whatever, she went running to the church. I got a prayer request. I want to pray for a guy named Joe and my brother Johnny. They're drug addicts. They're in the county jail. People were praying for me. I didn't even know they were praying for me. But I want you to know that God had a plan all the time. And all that was going on. And you know what? It was so dramatic that they got the word, the Christians, that what happened. So, you know, when that happens, it gets out. Hey, did you hear what happened? And Joe says, yo, un doble. That means Joe died. And, you know, the car that I borrowed, I had a warrant for my arrest already. The nurse freaked out when I started screaming at God that she ran out of the room. Pastor Daniel puts a lot of, he has more to it, said I'd attacked my toe, the sheet over my head. I don't know how that happened, but all I know that she went outside and she ran down and the doctor came in. And said, I don't know who you are, young man, but you better thank God that you're alive because I've been trying to bring you back for the last 8 hours and I couldn't bring you back. I wanted to cry, but they told me since I was a little boy that men ain't supposed to cry, so I held my mug. But I know now what it is, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, the police officer came. It's my time. Perfect time. Can you stop it? Yeah, so
And I remember the doctor told him, I'm sorry, you can't, you know, he told me straight up, like, come on, guys. Is he trying to tell me to shut up already? Let me finish it up, guys. Give me 5 more minutes. So, you know, the doctor told the officer, I'm sorry, sir, but I cannot release him right now. And I remember the officer said, I'll be back later. In my mind, when I open, when I close, I said in my mind, I won't be here later. And when everything was settled down, I literally escaped out of the hospital. And I kid you not, I was walking out of the hospital, shaking and crying. Because God was dealing with me. I didn't know that. People were moving aside like I was some kind of monster. The first miracle that I seen, I remember Louis giving me his number. When they tried to revive me, they said they put eyes, my whole wallet, my clothes was wet. I walked through this payphone across the street and I dialed a number. March 13, 1988, at 2 o'clock in the morning, who are you going to call? But Louis said, Louis, it was all set up on God. Joe, we heard what happened. We've been waiting for your call. I said, whatever. You know why? You told me if I ever needed help, well, I need help right now. And they dropped what they were doing. He went and got that sister Susie and his wife, Vicky. Vicky, you know who Vicky was? When I came from Mexico, a little Mexican guy. They put me in this elementary school. I would go and take her money. Now they shut up. Cállese, no digo nada. You've been saying nothing. So she hated my guts. But when I got saved, she told me, I thank God you changed. She was in the car. And we're in the back seat. And Louis tells me, Jesus loves you. And I get mad at Louis. Can you go with your Jesus again? Don't you get it, bro? I just tried to take my life. You know what he told me? Pásale quebrada. Give him a break. Look how many breaks he's giving you. And he told me that. Like a flashback, the Lord right there in the back seat from El Paso to Anthony. We're driving. They have to pull over every 5 minutes for me to throw up. You figure that out. And, you know, God was, he showed me. God showed me a whole thing that was going on. He sent that man. He told me he sent that man to the county jail. The phone call when that girl told me Jesus loves you. The TV stations. Everything was flashback. Was coming back to my head in the motel room and everything. He showed me that the drug connection that I burned. And some of you met my heroin connection. Jimmy, he's got saved throughout the years, man. But his big brother, he said he gave a grant to some guys, some cholos from California to go out and right there in my house and just do a drive-by and shut up all my windows. Now, I don't know if you know about shotguns, but from where Joanne is to here, there's no way you can get away. But God showed me that night, those BBs went around. In Juarez, we're celebrating 4th of July. And you know, and we were running across because my cousin Eddie, the one that I told you, OD, he got into a fight and he stabbed a cholo from 16th Street in Juarez. And all Mexico was coming against us. All I remember is running across the border screaming, American citizens, American citizens. And I want you to know that it was no 4th of July. God showed me they were shooting at us, but the bullets were just flying. I'm not saying all that to say, oh, he was a bad dude. I was just a lost sinner like everybody else, and I needed Jesus Christ. But God had to use that. And I told Louis, I don't know what's going on, bro, but I am tired of this life. If God can change me, well, I want to check this God out. And he threw me to the old heroin connection. His mother was out being a Christian, but she never preached to us because her husband would beat her up and she would talk to us. And I told her, she led me to the Lord that night, and I told her later, how come you never told me about Jesus? Joe, Louis, dad, Louis would beat me up. But he went and woke her up. Jay, I got Joe with me. He wants to receive Christ. And I'm right there to help me up those stairs. And I got into the room, and all of a sudden I see Susie, Vicky, his mom, and Louie. They get on their knees and they start praying. Not tripping. And I kid you not, I hear a different kind of voice. Say, if you want me,
you asked me to come in. I got on my knees. And I asked God, if you for reals change me, because I can't do this no more. And right there, 1988, March 13, at 2 o'clock in the morning, God showed me a vision of the devil running away from me. These guys are praying, and I'm trying to reach the Louis, and they kept praying. And God showed me, this is the guy that's been lying to you all these years. And I seen that. I seen a vision of a guy just running away. And I don't know, but everything was set down. They told me I was going like this. Louis, ¿qué pasó? What happened, Louis? What happened? He said, you got saved. Whatever that is, man. What really happened, man? What's going on? Something's happening to me. I want you to know that was 30 years ago, and I'm still jumping, and I'm still preaching, and I'm still doing. And you know what? All I am is evident that God is able to save the most unusual. Now, let's bring this home. What happened to the elevator? Come on, somebody. What happened to the elevator? To the message. See, I didn't get in the elevator. God threw me in the elevator. Get in there. And if you go into a regular elevator, you see first floor, second floor, third floor. I like it when I got my bum in the elevator, everybody looking at me. I'm going up. Anybody else wants to go with me? But you know what? I'm not talking about just a regular elevator. Remember the scripture we opened up with? The promotion, elevation doesn't come from the north or from the south or from the east, but from God. See, God wants to elevate us. See, he only wants to do that. How crazy is that they can put a monkey and send him all the way to the moon. They can now find water in Mars. Whoopee, they even got a shuttle that can take you over there and all that good stuff. And they can do all these things, but there's some that can't figure out how to get to heaven. And it's me and you. That's why God wants to not just elevate us, but take us one place further than the stars in the universe to a place called eternal glory. I'm getting in the elevator. What about you today? Stand to your feet. What about you today? Are you willing to get in the elevator? Are you willing to allow God to take you that round? Anybody who wants to celebrate my birthday, it's not March 31st, it's March 13th. I'm going to go to the roundhouse and I'm going to put in a bill. Why can't we celebrate a spiritual birthday? Why do I have to celebrate a physical birthday? They're putting all kinds of other bills. Come on, somebody. I'd rather celebrate my spiritual birthday than my physical birthday, because all I know is I died and came back to life. And now, so when you ask me, how old are you? I'm going to say, I'm 30 years old. Come on, somebody. I go by the Spirit. So you do the math on your personal testimony. How old are you? Are you willing? I'm going to open these altars. If you're not born again, this is a perfect opportunity. Just because you come to church, just because we claim Christianity, but have we really been born again? Visiting tonight. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. He is the elevator I'm trying to talk about. He's the one that wants to take us. They told me that I would never mount up to nothing. In prison. Head secular counselors. You're either going to die in the streets. I remember you should have never been born. I wish you would have stayed in Mexico. You're not my son. I was most likely to be anesthetic if I'm Hispanic of a heroin overdose of crime. But I'm here to declare to you today that God honored my second birth. And that's why I'm here today. That's why I do what I do and I serve what I serve. Because when I came to my senses, I said, well, I was going to die anyways. Why not serve the rest of my life with God? I haven't been perfect, but I have persevered. I haven't been perfect, but I have been persistent. I haven't been perfect, but I have kept my prayer alive. Pray with me today. Pray with me tonight. I want to open these altars right now. Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory, oh God. Have your way, Lord. Father, we pray tonight, oh God, just like many of us, precious out of darkness, oh God, that you were able to come in and change our lives in a dramatic way, oh God. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that people would jump in the elevator, oh God, that you would push up, Lord. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that we should just have your way. Open your heart tonight, folks. Allow the Spirit of the living God to elevate you, to promote you, to take you to places where you never even imagined you would be at. Father, I pray blessings over each person here tonight, oh God. I pray victory, oh God. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would just totally, Lord, captivate the mind, the souls of each person tonight, oh God. Father, we ask you tonight, Lord, that you would have your way, Lord. Have your way tonight, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him tonight. Oh, we worship you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Hallelujah.